This is taking the phrase, I love you to death, a little too literally. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be with you. Coming to you again by the miracle of Skype. So if you hear things that sound a little funny, it's just because it's over the phone lines, folks. And sometimes we don't have much control over each other's internet signals. So,
well, I think that's okay, Chuck. I think our listeners have come to expect that from us when they tune in the program of hearing something a little funny. and whether or not that, it has to do with signal issues, I'm not sure.
Usually it's the philosophy with spouse they think is kind of funny, not necessarily the signal. But
all right. Well, Chuck, and speaking of which, you and I sometimes, we kind of wax a little whimsical on this program. And today's program is really, it's not so much of a departure from what we normally talk about as it would seem to be. But we're going to be talking about a couple of issues today that just feels like we need to bring some clarity of thought to the issue. Chuck, this came from the Yahoo website, in the Yahoo Health section in the internet site, in their news feature, so Health News Ohio. And you saw this come out over the weekend, and you and I both kind of shook our heads a little bit at the title of the article, because it was entitled, and this was an AP story by John Sewer and Thomas Sheeran of the AP, Ohio Hospital Shooting, Mercy Killing or Murder? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why Chuck and I took a look at this and decided we wanted to talk about this today was we want to bring some clarity of thought to this whole issue, because oftentimes we mistake emotional responses for justice. And we have to be careful, especially as Christians and as constitutionalists, not to let emotion take the place of actual true justice. Chuck, I'm going to let you start on this. You found this, so why don't you give us a start here and explain to folks what's going on with this.
We've all heard these cases in the past, and this is nothing new, this thing about going into a hospital and one spouse looks like it's pretty much the end, and one spouse decides that for a myriad of reasons, usually they claim it's one, but for a myriad of reasons, they decide to take the life of this spouse who is terminal, possibly in pain, or possibly going to be comatose and bedridden for the rest of their life. And usually they've been married for a long period of time. So this killing will occur. And what you run into is suddenly some person who, let's just say, does not have a set view of law in mind will come out and attempt to create a false dichotomy by writing a headline that says Ohio hospital shooting, mercy killing, or murder. To that question, you and I think, would both answer, the answer to that question can be yes.
Yes, it can very well be yes on either end of that question.
That's right. It may be a legitimate mercy killing, but is there such a thing as the right to perform a mercy killing? Is there such a thing as assisted suicide? And the answer is no. There is suicide in which the person takes their own life, and there is murder in which someone takes the life of that person or sets up an apparatus by which they can take their own life. You have aided and abetted in either case. There are different kinds of these situations. For instance, years ago, someone I knew sold someone a gun who then used that gun to kill themselves. Does that mean that person was guilty of some form of killing because this person killed themselves with a gun provided by them? Well, the answer is no. The guy had bought an ice pick from that person and plunged it into his own heart. Does that mean that the person that supplied the ice pick originally owned the ice pick is guilty of murder? And the answer is no. That is something in which someone has made a decision on their own, completely independent of the person who was the original owner of the piece. Now, in the case of, for instance, Dr. Kevorkian, and Dr. Kevorkian was active in Michigan when I lived up there, in the 11 years that I lived in Michigan, Dr. Kevorkian would drive around in his little Volkswagen van and hook people up with these drugs and then hand them the switch. Well, that's entirely different, Barry. If I traveled around with a gun and handed it to people who then used it to kill themselves, have I participated in their murder if I knew full well they were going to stick a gun in their mouth and pull the trigger? Well, the answer is yes, I have.
Yeah, of course you have, because you had knowledge of what the intended usage, and you did not perform a good Samaritan role by trying to either not supply them with the means to do it or trying to convince them otherwise. But in this situation we have, this is the story of John and Barbara Wise from Massillon, Ohio. And it seems they've been married for 45 years. Now, Barbara was 65. I'm not sure if it says in the article how old John is, but they had been married for 45 years, and she was 65 years old and had suffered a stroke and been unable to speak and would blink to acknowledge her husband. Now, John Wise, the husband, told his friends that he and his wife had agreed a long time ago they didn't want to live out their years bedridden and disabled. So about a week after she had her stroke, he took a cab to the hospital, walked into her room, and put a gun to her head and fired a single round into her head, killing her the next day. Actually, she died a day later. He's 66, so he's a year older than she is.
Right.
But then the article goes on to say the shooting leaves authorities in a dilemma. Some experts say will happen with greater frequency in coming years as the baby boom generation ages. And that's kind of where I want to key in on this article, is that one line that experts say that this will happen with greater frequency in coming years. And it says, what is the appropriate punishment when a relative killer, then I believe that either one of these AP writers have, in order to figure out whether or not Barbara was in some way permanently disabled from her stroke, if it was temporary or not, if her husband overreacted, if they actually had really ever had this conversation to start with, and what we do as a culture with this type of a situation. Because again, as I mentioned earlier, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to let your emotions run away with justice. The big point is that this man, with premeditation, walked into her hospital room and took her life with his own hand using a firearm. Now, Chuck, at that point in time, he has committed what in any other circumstance would be considered first-degree murder.
Okay, subtract out the circumstances. That's where the emotional appeal comes in.
That's exactly where I was getting to was...
Yeah.
Now, because we're focusing so much on the circumstances, or at least the AP writers are, it's an attempt to set up an emotional response in people that we would try to say that, oh, and if the circumstances are just right, it's appropriate for loved ones to go ahead and take each other's lives. But Chuck, it's not appropriate because we are not called to biblically in any way, shape, or form to anyone else, much less the loved one, unless it's in self-defense. If we're defending ourselves or our home, that may be a situation if you have an intruder, but even that has to be adjudicated. But certainly not for my spouse who I've shared all this time with and I love so much and is a part of me and is one flesh with me. Well, I don't like seeing them suffer, so I'm going to kill them to end their suffering. That's not a biblical response.
Right. We had a little electronic interference there when you were giving what this is about, so I'm going to repeat it just to clarify. The shooting leaves authorities in a dilemma, some experts say will happen with greater frequency in coming years as the baby boom generation ages. What is the appropriate punishment when a relative kills a loved one to end their suffering? In response to that, I can't think of a single biblical example of anyone who was mercy killed.
Neither can I. Now, there were certain examples where people were killed because within the act of a war.
Sure.
There were some that were unjust slayings. You remember Simeon and Reuben and what they did to some of their opponents. But there has never been one where somebody's life was taken because it was the best thing to do for them.
That's right. It's generally either completely unjust or it's an act of combat or war or some kind of thing. For instance, the king, whose name escapes me, who got the tent peg through his skull.
Sisera.
Yes. Let's go back to this. I'm a little worried about why they think this is going to become such a big deal as the baby boom generation ages.
Well, that's not really too much of a surprise, Chuck, because if you remember, the baby boom generation is the generation that was brought up in our public school system under the mantra of self-esteem, under the mantra of we can't have any competition, and that we have to be tolerant of everybody and everything. And so you have a situation where they're also being taught moral relativism writ large, and you and I have both seen it when you look at test questions from various educational sources. You often find variations of what they call the lifeboat scenarios. Where someone has to choose who has to die. But the point is that biblically, it's not up to us individually or as families to choose who has to die. That is a function of God, first and foremost, and of justice if there is a violation of the civil laws, which would include taking the life of your ailing spouse.
Well, I've known people who have monkey wrenched. Actually, it's very easy to monkey wrench the lifeboat scenario. You find an ally, two people who basically do believe in absolute law. We're going to put our fate in the hands of God and we'll die so that everyone else can live. Or, no, there is a third choice here. There's not just two choices. Well, and you need to play the game. The way it's done, you need to play the game. There's only two choices. No, there aren't just two choices. And that's what we're dealing with here. Sympathetically speaking, I understand where this fellow's coming from, if indeed he truly is doing it from a mercy basis. But you also have to look at it from the possibility that he has looked at this scenario and said, I don't want to deal with this. She could live another 15 years in this state, and I don't want to deal with it financially, physically, emotionally, and to make it easy on myself, I'm going to do this act. And you cannot deny that this is a possibility, especially from this story, because the amount of detail in it is minuscule. There's no talk about whether they actually talked this over. No, was there a living will? Was there this? Was there that? So we don't really know. And therefore, we cannot make the assumption that this was something that was simply done completely out of sympathy, completely altruistically. And how could you subtract out that self-interest from this? That's exactly why prosecutors have to look at this as a possible murder scenario. Why you can't just negotiate away and say, well, this is really no big deal. This person was now a vegetable. She wasn't a vegetable. She was able to communicate, granted, in a very minimal fashion.
Yes, and at least nominally. But Chuck, again, one of the things I want to key in on here is this whole idea about the greater frequency issues, because when we go farther into the article, there's a comment from a woman who's the head of the Violence and Injury Prevention Program at the University of South Florida by the name of Donna Cohen, who's writing a book called Caregivers Who Kill. And so she's saying with longer life expectancies, and of course, since we don't have good mental health services for older people, this is going to happen more and more and more. Now, it's interesting, though, because she's looking at research on homicide-suicide cases in the state of Florida. Well, we know, Chuck, in the state of Florida, unlike the state of Ohio and others, there's a larger concentration of older individuals and older couples who retire to the Sunshine States in their later years. So you've got a situation here where I think they're painting too broad of a brush with this. They're basically trying to say, yes, well, because the data we see here shows 2 in 5 of the homicide suicides in the state involve people 55 and older, and that case grew among older people, then that means that we're going to see this mass explosion of this type of thing across the country. Now, Chuck, you and I both know that other things, anything can trigger somebody doing something that's heinous, because basically our natures are not good. We are born with the sinful nature, and it's only because of the grace of God that we don't do more of these type of things. But the point is that, and why this went from Massillon, it was at Akron General Medical Center where this happened. I apologize, folks, I think I said Cleveland, but it was in Akron. But what we know so far of this case is that, yes, he loved his wife. Yes, he'd been married to her for 45 years. Yes, she was in a situation where she'd had a stroke. But none of that leads to jumping to a conclusion that this was, quote-unquote, a mercy killing. That the possibility of this being a number of different issues, including, as Chuck and I, you know, I hate to be callous about it, but it sounds callous, especially when you then hit with this emotional argument from this newspaper article, that he acted possibly out of self-interest, as you mentioned earlier, about understanding the amount of work and pressures and things of caring for somebody who's disabled, and just not wanting to deal with that, or not thinking that he had the resources to deal with that, and thus took a shortcut to end the difficulties. And it's sad to hear, but the point is we have to understand that this is going to have to go in front of a court. And I hope that the defense attorneys obviously are already trying to prep this, that this is a mercy killing, and thus there should be leniency.
And which a jury needs to decide, not a prosecutor.
Absolutely.
And that's the only truly sympathetic way to deal with that, is put it in front of the jury. let the jury decide whether it was done out of a true altruistic. Now, I'll be quite honest, if I was serving on a jury, I would have to say, I'm sorry, but he's guilty.
Right.
But then again, I haven't seen all the evidence. So having served on a jury, I can also say, you got to see it all first. With that, Barry, of course, we're out of time, as always. All I can say is join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.